Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I am so excited to be on the program tonight with those who are listening live on the line and those who are listening via the internet, live on the website. I am just so forever grateful to the Lord to just experience His glory, experience His grace, and experience His love every day of my life. I tell you, I'm super excited tonight. We've got an awesome program tonight, and we are picking up where we left off from last Thursday on this series of Who's Bullying Who? And I tell you, it is just going to be an amazing ride. But most of all, we are trying to bring awareness to this problem that just plagues our community. It plagues our schools. It plagues our home environment. Yes, I said it, right in our marriages, in our households. Bullying goes on in more ways than we think. And we have used alternate words to give light to this strong plague that beats us down in our spirit, in our soul. So I'm just excited, again, to be with you, and I thank God that you have tuned in tonight, because this will be a very informative program tonight. So for those of you who are listening live with the host, and Vicki and I, again, if you could use your phone just for background noise purposes, because we are recording live the program, and we will open up the lines 15 minutes before the end of the program with the hope that someone would like to address a question to our guest tonight, so that we can really get into this understanding of praying from a spiritual perspective, and that's where we're looking at it tonight, from a spiritual perspective. And our guests tonight are Nikki, and she was with us on last Thursday. If you did not catch that program, please go on the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/heart2heart, and that's MFTH. Heart to Heart, that's the number 2, MFTH. And you can listen to last week's program, and we had a wonderful time bringing this introduction. And tonight, you will be able to revisit this program at this evening. When we close out the program, you will have the liberty of going back and revisiting this program and taking notes and just listening again to kind of refresh yourself with some of the scriptures that may be released tonight through this program. So, again, we are taping live, and we do want you to be mindful of any background noise that may be in your phone. So if you could just mute your phone for the purpose of background noise, and then as we introduce the speaker and open up the lines for any quick question and answers, then we will give you that opportunity to do so. So please, Nikki, I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself, Nikki, and then introduce our guest, if you will.
Thank you, Sister Carnita. My name is Nikki Mason. I'm from Baltimore Missionary Baptist Church. And as I stated on last week, I am the founder of the National Day of Prayer for Children. Tonight, I'm very excited because we have the Kingdom Builders out of Florida, Orlando, Florida, and they're called the Kingdom Builders. And they are also on this journey with us to help, you know, the process of stop the bullying. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves. We have three fabulous men on the line. Vice President, Pastor Murray, I'm going to ask him to introduce himself and tell a little bit about himself. And then I'm going to ask Mr. David Tibbs to speak, and also Pastor Wood Barnes. So I'm going to ask first of all, Pastor Murray, will you please go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, wow. Thanks. I'm excited to be here tonight. I am Pastor Stanley Murray of the Mount Zion Tabernacle Christian Church in Orlando, Florida. I'm also a full-time Orange County Deputy Sheriff here in Orlando. So I've had the opportunity to work here almost 20 years now in the sheriff's office. I've dealt with many different areas. I've worked in narcotics. I've worked in school research. And now I'm in our crime prevention unit, and I also coordinate all of our chaplains that we have at the sheriff's office as well. I'm retired military. I did 22 years as a Navy police instructor. And just many things, a lot of community service stuff, but just loving to be a servant of God and being the founding pastor of the church. But we believe in state family partnerships. So I do want to send regards on behalf of our president, Dr. Jake Simons. He sends his regards as well. He was able to make it on the line tonight. But he does send his regards and his blessings with us being on the line tonight.
Amen. And I'm asking Mr. David Tibbs, would you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Good afternoon. My name is David Tibbs. I'm with Sonic Rock United Methodist Church, and I'm also one of the youth pastors there, which is one of my main concerns about this bullying, because a lot of the children, they come and talk to me about problems they had at school, and then I refer back to the parents about it. I'm excited to be here tonight. Of the Kingdom Builders Men's Ministry from Florida. And that's Pastor Barnes from here.
Okay. And we thank you for that. We're glad to have you. And Pastor Willie Barnes, will you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I'm Pastor Willie J. Barnes, International Church of Faith here in Orlando, Florida. Also a part of Kingdom Builders Men Ministry, and really excited about being a part of them. I'm a chaplain with the Orange County Sheriff Department. Been a chaplain for about 15 years now. And I'm a community leader. I've been with the community as well as the president of the Homeowners Association for about the last 12 years. And just working in the community. I really love what I do, working with the community and helping people that can help themselves.
Well, I'm very excited to have you all on the line tonight, because I think what's going on down here in Houston is not only here in Houston, as I explained before, it's all over the nation. And I think what the Kingdom Builders are doing in Florida is a very awesome thing, and I'm very excited to have you on the program tonight. I want you to tell us a little bit about what the Kingdom Builders do. What they, you know, not only what they stand for, but the different things that they do in the community to help the children. Mr. Tibbs, would you be able to tell us that?
I thought maybe the vice president was going to take over from there.
Okay. Mr. Murray, would you like to tell us what it is that the Kingdom Builders, not only what they represent, but what they do in the community?
Not a problem at all. The Kingdom Builders is a collaboration of many different men of faith under one faith. We're many different denominations. We're many different churches. There's no holes barred, so to speak. We come as one in the belief of Jesus Christ, but we're not helped by our church denominations, if you will, with a love for the community. And we really have a love for our youth. Almost all of the members that come have had some form of experience, even in their own childhood or whatever, with wanting to learn how to be an effective man and a man of God, of course, within this community. We have volunteers come and we meet and we converse on how we can be effective in the community itself. It may just mean going to an event. We may not sponsor it, but we may just go there in our church and just be there to serve, to put tables together, set tables out. We may go there and mentor some young men that we see there to encourage them in their walk. And then we host an annual event that God laid on Brother Tibbs' heart a while back to start, where we host an event where the youth actually come out and have a full service where they are the stars of the entire service. They come and they sing, they poetry, they talk, and everything relates to bullying. And it's a great opportunity for them to express themselves and be heard in the community, where many of our distinguished clergy and also government officials are invited to attend, as far as my law enforcement officers.
Oh, Okay, and that is something that is exposing the children to something different. What I would like to ask is, I really tonight want to talk about the young men, because by the Kingdom Builders being a group of men that have come together that are Christian-based, even though they're not from the same church, but they come together to help the youth. One of my questions is, I wanted to get from the man's perspective how bullying affects our children, and is it a particular, especially the young man, but, you know, how it affects him now and even later when, you know, is it something that, is it because he lacks a father figure? Is it because he is... he's having trouble at home? Is it something that you as the Kingdom Builders have experienced that shows you that within the young man, how it affects them? Can you answer that, Pastor Barnes?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked me that question, because I had to deal with an incident with my own child. I found out that I called to the school. And they were telling me that I need to come and see about my oldest son, and they was getting ready to expel him. And I'm saying, expel him from school for what? When I got to the school, this little boy was in the class. He was in his room with the principal, and he was the principal asked him to tell me what was going on. So he said that your son had me to bring him his. I had to bring him my lunch money. I had to bring him my lunches, and he would just make me every week. I had to bring him stuff, and I said, "What?" I said, "Wait now, wait. Run this by me again. I don't understand what you're saying." And I'm looking at my son, because he's much taller. He was young, but he was much taller. And I'm looking at this little kid, and I thought about my younger kid, because he was about the same age as my younger kid, and I'm looking at like, are you really doing this? And I'm telling you, it broke my heart. It really broke my heart to find out that my kid was bullying other kids. And I'm telling you, I dealt with that situation. I really dealt with it. I really had to sit down and have a good talk with him. And I had to chastise him a little bit, because it was just something I just couldn't deal with. And I told him, I said, you know, I never did this to anyone. I don't know why you're doing this. And he just said he just did it because, you know, he could. And I couldn't deal with that too well. So I can understand a child being bullied and being picked on in that regard, because I was picked on in school myself, and I was small. I was very small coming up, very small. And I was picked on because I was a little small kid. And it's something when you have to try to hide, or you got to you don't have others to take up for you. You got to try to take up for yourself, and so that's a pretty frightening situation.
And I thank you for that, because tonight we get to hear a testimony from the other side of not just like my child was bullied, but we hear the other side of a parent, a responsible parent at that, that says, my child was a bully, and this is what I did. And what I really want to know, I mean, is it, do you see a pattern with the bullying, those that bully? Do you think that it's a pattern somewhere, or is it just that it's something that they choose to do and they do it? Are they missing something, or is it something causing them to do that?
Well, if I could interject for just a moment from a law enforcement standpoint, it's just getting to the core of what bullying actually is. Because sometimes the perception of bullying, you automatically think it's something physical. And that's usually the end result. It doesn't usually start out physical. Bullying is broken out into three different types of abuse, if you will. There's an emotional, there's a verbal, and there's a physical contact that is made with another child. Statistics say that they did a survey of students, and over 70% either were bullied or knew someone that had been bullied. Usually you will find that bullies were former kids who were bullied. So they feel that it's a sense of empowerment after being devalued from a prior bully. So it's an imbalance of power that sometimes is brought to just a physical nature, but there's an emotional and a verbal conversation that goes on that affects these children for a very long time.
That makes a lot of sense, because I think that a lot of people don't realize that we bully with our words and our appearance. We can intimidate someone just by the way we look at them, especially if we know that they're already fearful of us. Or we know that even with adults with their children, you know, I used to hear the old people say, all my mom had to do or my dad had to do was look at us, and we automatically knew to straighten up. That's a form of intimidation if you really look at it, which is not calling those parents bullies back then, but it is a form of intimidation. And because you knew that if you did not straighten up and act right wherever you were, then you knew what your consequences were going to be. So that makes a lot of sense to me, and I want to know do you see that those kids that have been bullied, or those that have bullied, later on, do it lead them to a life of crime? Do you see them not going towards a productive life?
This is Pastor Barnes. I think anyone can change. I don't think that it can be a pattern of life. I think it's according to who's surrounding them, that child, who's in their lives, and how they're being productive in their lives. Because I had a nephew, we took him in. He had been foster kid, and they had really just messed up life. And we took him in, and we began to show him love. And by showing him love, it really changed his life. And now he's went on to college. He's studying to be a lawyer. He worked with the president. And this child is feeling like he's going to have a life. But I think it depends on who's a part of that child life and what they're imparting into that child. Because a lot of homes don't have fathers. They don't have fathers. And that's what we need. We need father figures. I grew up in a home of 16 kids. My mom had 4 boys and 5 girls. So my mother was the primary figure there after my father passed away. I was 15 years old. He was the primary figure as far as raising up the kids in the house. So she had to do that, but you just said it's a little bit of intimidation to look at you and you know not to do this or not to do that. But it was a way of life at that time. At that time, that's just the way it was, and we had to deal with it. But that didn't change the structure as far as how I am now. It didn't make me be a bad person or whatever, you know. And I think it's according to who's in your life.
And to me, Pastor Barnes, I'm glad that you pointed that out, because that goes back to what I've been telling people, as they say, preaching to people, that there is no bad child, there's bad behavior, because that behavior can be changed if they have the right type of person or people around them, showing them, like you said, love, giving them guidance and talking to them and understanding. And I don't want to make it seem like the older generation's ways were not good ways, because a lot of those ways were very good ways. We do have some that did need to be changed, but at the same time, our children, as I told Sister Carnita before last week, our children have no fear. And they have no fear because they have no guidance and no understanding. They have no one to teach them that there is a better way to be, to be more respectful, not only of themselves but of others also. And my question to you, Pastor Murray, you being in the law enforcement, do you see a lot of our young men and women that come through there that may have been bullied, that led them another way, or you know, it led them to that path, or it didn't lead them to that path?
Well, I mean, first of all, bullying starts a lot earlier than people think. Some 90% of students have either reported or made some form of a statement between the grades of 4 through 8 that they've been bullied. Most of the time we think It's a much older group that's bullied, but it starts as early as third and fourth grade. But I would also go to say that there, if we could go scripture for just a moment, that we are in a season where our children are more educated than they've ever been before. I know it doesn't seem to add up on paper, but they have access to more information than they ever have before. The problem is there has not been a good guardianship over what they have learned. And we who are coming out of a generation prior to them may have not given as good an example as maybe we grew up in as far as family taking care of family, neighborhood taking care of all the kids in the neighborhood. The average resident lives in a neighborhood now between 5 to 8 years. When there was a time that you pretty much lived there until you died and you passed it on to your kids and they lived there and they passed it on. So we're in a real era now where everything is right now, right now, right now. Well, with all that going on, the connection of relationships has pretty much become non-existent due to being able to text and email and other things that we do, to the point where now we don't even bully up front anymore. Now we got cyberbullying. So, I mean, we got all these other avenues now to not only do good things, but also do things that aren't good. And so without a child being governed on what they are obtaining and what they're learning, then they got all this information, all this ability to know, but then there's no knowledge because there's no one to help them apply it in the right fashion.
Yeah. So, Mr. Tibbs, I want to add to what Pastor Murray is saying as far as he's absolutely correct about that, because we're going into a new generation of bullying now, which is, like he said, which is the cyberbullying. It's about 43% of teens right now are victims of cyberbullying. Yeah, within the last year or so, cyberbullying occurred with young people using the internet and cell phones. And right now, I don't know if you heard about it, down here in Florida last year,
Mr. Tibbs, I do apologize. We didn't hear that clearly. Repeat what you said. Repeat that again for me.
Which part?
All of it. You say last. You don't know if we heard down there in Florida. Start from that part for me.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard down here in Florida about a Florida girl. She jumped to her death following cyberbullying. Her name was Rebecca Sidgwick. She wasn't but 12 years old, and she was found dead after jumping off of a ledge in mid-October, just before the Kingdom Builders had a concert. It was about a week before that. The parents need to try to see if they can reduce cyberbullying by establishing some type of rules for the appropriate use of the computers and cell phones. Tell their kids never to share passwords, even with their closest friends, and try to encourage children not to post anything that they don't want anyone in the world to see. And, you know the sites your kids are visiting and their online activities. And we need to install some type of parental control filtering the software, you know, in order to try to help stop that. Because this is the new age now that they're bullying on the internet and computers and phones, like Pastor Murray said.
And I agree with that because, well, my solution is probably something everybody wouldn't agree with. You know, my thing is, I know, you know, by the internet having so much information, you know, once you put your Social Security number in there, I felt like sites shouldn't, you know, once your Social Security number ran, it would let you know that child is not of age. I think anybody on the internet should be 18 years and older. I really do. And I think that it should be a way that the internet site should be able to say, okay, you can't get on here, because what the kids do now, they just make up a date of birth, you know, and they know I just make the year to be older than 18 or older than 21. And I'm glad you brought that up. That is a very, very valid opinion. And I want to ask you, Mr. Tibbs, what do you see as even though, like, this by the cyberbullying, and you're dealing with the kids, and you have a lot of kids that come to you and they talk to you, what are some of the signs for a parent that their child is being bullied but their child is not saying anything?
It's actually it's fear of the harassment that they're getting from the children at the schools. I mean, they come home and then they don't say anything. They get quiet, and the people at the school that's harassing the children is telling them, you need to go kill yourself. You're so ugly, or you're so fat, or you're so thin, or whatever, whatever the case may be. Even if they have special skills and talents, they may be playing the guitar or violin or sing very well, and people get jealous of that, and they want to bully them about that and hold it against them as instead of a special skill. They want to, you know, bring them down and make them, you know, more like themselves. A lot of the bullying comes from the parents, you know, the way they treat the kids at home.
Can you elaborate on that for me, please?
As far as, you know, the kids are not being raised like they should. The parents are bullying the children themselves at home, and then they take what they learn at home and take it to school.
And that has to go with, like, the Vine videos. I don't know if a lot of people listening are familiar with the Vine videos or allstar.com, you know, hip.com. It's one of those websites, but the Vine videos where everybody's taping themselves and they're putting all this silly stuff on there, and a lot of it is the kids are taping themselves fighting. And just by my daughter looking at a few of them, there were parents on there literally cursing their children out, like if they were talking to a stranger that was coming at them on the street.
Correct.
You know, calling them names. One lady even threatened to punch her daughter in the face. And in one incident, one lady did punch her daughter. So I agree with that. A lot of parents are bullying. And for I know a lot of my friends and people that I know whose children have been bullied, because I always tell people, either your child is being bullied, they're bullying someone, or and they're not telling you that they're being bullied either, or bullying somebody. And so for a single mother that has not only a son but even a daughter that is coming home and just not saying anything, do you recommend that they say anything to their children every single day they come home from school? Do you think there's something that the parents should be doing?
Well, if we have any kids listening right now over the air right now, I'd appreciate it if somebody is bullying them at school. All they need to do is just tell somebody. All you have to do is tell somebody, and it will make a big difference. Just a need-to-know situation. If somebody knows it's happening, I mean, then something needs to be done.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just saying. I just think that it's a really critical situation when you're talking about how the, you know, when especially when it comes to the parents, and I do think that the parents do need to pay more attention to their children in that regard, because you got children. We got one in our church, and she's always on the computer, and I told her, Mom, you need to be checking on her, see who she's talking to, who's talking back to her, or what's going on, because if you let her go and she's doing what she's doing on the computer, you never know who she's talking to. You never know what she's involved in. And I think that the parents do have to really look at what their children are doing. And I'm with Mr. T, it do start at home. I think it do start at home, because the way that you're brought up is
could I
grow.
Go ahead.
I apologize, Pastor. I just want to interject as well, because I want to make sure that we always include who's the author and finisher of our faith. And we are in a situation now where we are more religious than we are a relationship with God. We know church. We know scripture. We know songs. We know praise dances. We know all those things that we talk about. But when it comes to actually having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where I think our children are finding the hardest situation to be. I did an interview one time on the radio, and I was asked, how can children grow to love God and still be themselves? Well, scripturally, that's not even possible, because the Bible clearly tells us that you become a new creature, and the old things are passed away. But if I'm seeing one thing from family and friends in church on Sunday, but I know what's going on consistently on Saturday night, then I'm confused in my walk, and I'm confused in whether or not I should be this humble person that has a consideration and a compassion for those who yet not know the Lord Jesus Christ. So we, I think, have to go back to the basics of our relationship with God and park them in our kids and do our best to show them that the way we live has meaning. And not if, but when we come short, we teach them what repentance and conviction really is. Because I think when you have a young person who is not convicted about hurting another person consistently, then that means that there's no conviction in their heart. And that's a scary place to be. And I'm not quite sure if we've had the opportunity to really teach our young people the power of conviction and the power of repentance and the power of how we can be game changers to what goes on in our communities by just understanding the power of prayer and humbling ourselves. And not just because we can play a drum or play a keyboard or sing real good or dance real good. All of those are gifts, but we all know that the gift comes without repentance. So we have to understand that through repentance and conviction is when change really begins to come forth, not only in our young people, but also whoever they are in touch and included with. I just wanted to add that.
Amen. And I thank you for adding that. Amen. Amen. So what we really need to look at tonight with this form of bullying is that the parents have a lot of responsibility. And parents need to not only pay attention to their children, but they also need to listen to their kids. And you know, and that's a difference. You can talk to me or talk at me, but does not mean that you're listening to me. And so I'm glad that you pointed that out. Sister Carnita, did you want to add anything?
Yes, I was just, and I thank you so much, brothers, for sharing your passion concerning this issue, Brother Tibbs and Brother Murray and Brother Barnes. But I just wanted to bring out that in the solution, telling somebody, and I believe, Brother Tibbs, you made mention that they are in fear of telling someone. And, of course, in today's society, our young people will use the term snitching. And when some of us 50-plus parents may not understand some of the terminology that our youth are using, it would be to our best benefit to come to some sort of understanding on some of these words that we didn't use back in our day, but they have the same meaning. And I know our youth can be in fear, especially those who have been bullied, be in fear of telling back in our day, but in their day using the word snitching, so that's what keeps them in fear of letting a parent know, because they can even be subjected to even more bullying because they so-called snitched. And I just thought that would be something that we would need to teach our children, that you don't have to live in fear of that, because taking it back to Scripture, embedding in them or planting a seed of what the Scripture said, just as Pastor Murray had indicated, on how the parents need to be more relationship with their children concerning what Scriptures teach us, so they won't have to live in fear. And of course, not even live in fear of dying because they have given their life to Christ. So I believe that when we teach our children these principles of salvation and stand on what you do know, and that is some of those right and tight scriptures that really take away the fear of a man or fear of a woman or fear of bullying or being bullied. And then for those who have bullied, do they show repentance? Are they sorry? Have they gone back to say, I'm sorry, man, I'm sorry, bro, I'm sorry, homegirl, for doing this to you, you know, I feel bad about it. No conviction. And I believe that's what needs to be embedded and trained in our children so that they will understand the difference between bullying and being bullied. One living in fear and one wanting to put people in fear because of their own issues. And I just wanted to shed some light there. But I concur with all of my brothers in Christ concerning with what they said, Pastor Barnes Murray and Brother Tiff. It is a serious issue in society. And because they are online doing things that us parents don't know or may just be ignorant to the fact because of technology. And with the Instagram and Vine and Facebook, I mean, that's just a bashing right there without even seeing the person face-to-face.
And I want to throw in where mm-hmm. this goes to a whole other end of a spectrum from a law enforcement standpoint, that there is a rise in parent abuse where we're having parents who are being abused. I just went to a survivors memorial service, survivors of homicide memorial service here in Orlando, and there was a mother who was actually killed by her son. She was intimidated by her son the whole time that he lived with her. So there's a lot where this spectrum starts at one end with our little bitty babies and goes all the way back to our elderly or to our seniors. So this has no bounds and it has no respect to person.
Yes, and that is so true. That is so true. So, Nikki, I'm going to turn it back over to you. If you have some other questions, now just keep in mind, I do want to open up the phone lines for those who are listening tonight to have an opportunity to ask Pastor Barnes, Pastor Murray, and Brother Tibbs questions concerning maybe a specific issue or something that we may not have brought to the table. So, Nikki, if you would continue, and I'll chime in on when I want to open up the line. Go right.
Well, one of the things I want to bring to everybody's attention, which Pastor Murray, Pastor Barnes, and Brother Tibbs, they all made valid points. He just said you do have a lot of our youth fighting their elders. You have a lot of our children who don't care if they curse their parents out. They don't care if they fight their parents. So what I get from that is that parents need to, in some form, need to learn to take back control, but they're going to have to do it through God and let God guide them and show them how, you know, to take back control of their children. The other thing that a valid point that was made was, you know, the Internet. Brother Tibbs, you know, you made a valid point about that cyberbullying, but at the same time, we need parents to understand. If I'm on Facebook and I'm cursing somebody out or I'm talking crazy or I'm posting things, then what do I expect my 10, 11, 12, or teenager to do? I have to lead by example. So that means that I have to be the one to act like my adult. That's one thing. The other thing is that parents have to start praying. They have to start teaching their children to pray. They have to get up and start going to church. And like he said, a lot of people are going to church for religiousness, but they're not actually having a relationship with God. Your child has to see you have a real relationship. If I'm partying Monday through Saturday and then I'm falling out in church on Sunday, that's not teaching my child anything. So those were very valid points. And I want to say to a lot of single parents, a father is a need. A two-parent household is very necessary. And we're not downing mothers who have a one-parent household because I am a single mother. And as a single mother and my child's father is in her life, it is very hard when you don't have a two-parent household. So I want to make people understand we're not downing single parents because we know that you're doing the best that you can. But we would love, you know, it is important if that child does not have a role model. Pastor Murray, I think that especially young men, if they're not able to have a father figure there, or even a young lady doesn't have a father figure there, do you agree that some type of mentorship for that young man or that young woman? Pastor Murray? Mr. Tibbs, do you agree?
Yes, I agree. Like you were saying once before, a lot of the bullying starts at home. I mean, some of the parents, when I was coming up, if I came home and told my mother somebody jumped on me and blacked my eye, I'd get another black eye if I didn't go back and do something about it. I had to go back out there and do something about it myself. I mean, I never was a victim of bullying myself when I came up. Fortunately, I was always on the football team. I got on the wrestling team. I got out of school, and I got on the. I started taking up judo, and it went to karate. So I never became a victim myself. It's like
but
I
it
said,
is good to. I think putting a child in a sport and keeping them active in something like a sport or something that has a that's positive. Whether it's a
yes.
sport, whether it's guitar, it's something else to not only build up their self-esteem, but I don't think people understand sports build up your self-esteem also. It
yes.
doesn't just, you're just not there for a physical basis or to be known as an athlete. It helps build a lot of children's self-esteem. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And I think Pastor Barnes. I think
yes,
what you did, what you did with your son, I commend you for that because you have a lot of parents who children bully, and when you say something to that parent or you tell that parent that their child has bullied another child, the parents don't reprimand their child. Instead, they get mad with whoever the child is bullying.
And you're right, and I think the fact that you need to, I mean, you, if you know your child, I mean, because what had happened, I was very upset because of the fact to find out what he was actually doing, because I'm sending him to school to learn. I was sending him there for education, not to be go up there and take advantage of a child. And when I provided what he needed, you know, and that's not the right way of doing it. And I think the whole thing, like Mr. T was just saying, that, you know, these parents just got to take a hand on to what their kids are doing, you know, and then just show more love. Right? And you said it yourself that you can't be out in the street and doing all kind of things and you come home and try to be the loving parent. Because what their kids see you do, they want to do too. They want to follow you. Just like you know, you want to be the brother, they want to be the brother too. Or if you fight at home, you know, they want to fight too. So I think it's an aspect as far as what we are teaching and what we're showing them around us. I think that makes a big difference.
Well, I thank the Kingdom Builders. This has been an awesome experience. I have learned a lot my own self. Sister Carnita, I'm going to turn it back over to you because if anyone has any questions or anything like that, I would love for, you know, them to be able to ask their question.
How are you
Absolutely.
Doing?
Absolutely. Pastor Barnes. Pastor Barnes, can I just want to address to you what scripture in the Bible would you like to share with those who are listening on live on the lines and live on the internet? What scripture would you like to share with us tonight that would really that we can hold on to and that we can share with our children? Does it comes to heart?
Okay, I'll just go with something. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be God, ever the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble." And, you know, and any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comfort of God. He's our comforter. He comforts us in whatever we are going through, whatever our problem, and just bring it to him, whatever that situation is, and not be afraid to go to your parents. Your mama, you know, Bobby's been hitting on me in school, and I'm tired of it. I don't know what to do. And then that parent take over and say, you know, and decide on what to do with that situation. But God is our comforter. He's the one that comforts us all the situations that we're dealing with in that regard.
Amen. Amen. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. What verse was that, Pastor Barnes?
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4.
Okay, chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 1.
Chapter 1.
Verse 3 through 4. So for those of you, 3 and 4.
Yes, ma'am.
And for those of you, please just make note of these verses because they are a healing to our soul. They are a healing to our children's soul if we would just share them and direct them to the Word of God, and He will direct their path. And I just believe that it is so. Brother Tibbs, I want to ask you the same question before we lose our time. That is there a verse that comes to your heart that really, really solidifies a prayer moment or a healing moment with a youth that you have experienced with?
I don't really have a scripture in mind at this particular time.
Okay. All righty. That's okay. And again, I just appreciate you. And I'm not sure if Pastor Murray is still on the line. Pastor Murray. Okay, wonderful. I want to ask you the same thing. What comes to your heart that you could share with those who are listening tonight, something that they could cleave to as far as the Word of God is concerned? Maybe a special verse or?
I would say Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of God, this world, against wickedness in high places. And I always encourage young people by letting them know that bullies don't pick on people that don't matter. And I want to remind each and every youth that may be feeling like they're being oppressed or they're being talked about or messed with, it's because the potential that you have and the value that you have is shining out. And it scares people, and people are in fear of what you're going to become. And I want you not to be deterred about what is happening with you in the physical, and that you do everything you can to report it, to identify what's going on, to report it, and to never stop reporting it, and to never stop telling those who are held a charge over you to be responsible and accountable for their duties as well. Teachers are mandated by the state, no matter what state you're in, to report any violence that is committed against the child. Any guardian that's in a place is the same thing. So I want to encourage each and every one of us to make sure that we're in place so that each child has an opportunity to report what is wrong with them. But let them know they wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's all the spiritual thing that manifests into the natural. There are other things going on with these people, these places, these things.
Amen. We're going to look at some of these issues again from different perspectives. Tonight was a spiritual perspective with our pastors on the line, and then next coming Thursdays to come, we're going to look at it from a medical perspective. We're going to look at it from an educational perspective, and we even want to look at it from a city perspective, you know, our city officials. And then hopefully we will look at it from a personal perspective with a testimony of someone who may have been bullied and or someone who used to bully. And we want to just hear it and just put it out there and keep this in our prayer life because it is a serious problem. So what I want to do right now is open the lines. So Brother Tibbs and Pastor Murray and Pastor Barnes, please do not leave us because I want to give the those who are listening an opportunity to ask one or two questions while we yet still have time. And I'm going to open the line. So if you would unmute your phone, and if you do have a question for our Kingdom Builders, brothers, then please don't hesitate to ask any of us any questions, especially them since they are our special guests. And we just need to keep this on the forefront in our hearts because it is a plague. It is a plague. So for those of you who are listening, please step up and don't hesitate to ask them a question, one or two that you may have some kind of interest in, or you may just want to know a certain solution to this issue. So if you could speak up at this time, the lines are open for us to address or just chime in at this time.
Hello?
Yes.
Good evening. And this is Pastor Crow. I wanted to give a word of encouragement. I didn't really have a question, but I want to just encourage you and Sister Nikki and our brothers in other parts of the country that are doing the same thing. While I was listening to the interview and the conversation, which was a great conversation, what came to mind was Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And in the fifth chapter of Matthew, it said at night. Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we still hear you. Mm-hmm.
In that ninth verse, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." And certainly this is reflected in you all's life tonight, that you, and it's a blessing to allow the Holy Spirit to make you be peacemakers, because the opposite of bullying is peacemaking. And I want to thank our brothers in Florida, and thank you and Sister Nikki for letting the Holy Spirit use you, because we want to always take care of the whole man, not just from the spiritual perspective, but the whole man. And I just want to commend you and your show for allowing the Holy Spirit to use you, and I want you all to keep up the good work. And information is always important, and it's powerful. And it's doubly powerful when the Holy Spirit uses you to bring that type of information to all. So I want to thank you all for exhibiting yourself as children of God tonight, and keep up the good work.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Amen.
Is there anyone else who would like to share some encouraging words, or just let us know how the program has blessed you, or if you have a question for Pastor Murray, please chime in at this time. And for those of you who may not have a question, just mute your phone and please speak up. We have time for one more before our program ends. This has been an awesome time, so just go right ahead and chime in.
This is Pastor Jake from the Kingdom Building. I appreciate my brother in Kingdom Building, Pastor Murray, Pastor Steele, Pastor Paul being there. I thank God for them speaking. All they wanted to say is that it's a real spot, because they want to be noticed. And that's what's not a bully. A bully want to be noticed and stop from school and act out the pain and the hurt that they have in them, and they want to be noticed. That's how they come to be in a game mentor. They want to be noticed, they want a family, and they come to be as a group and want to be seen a lot. I just wanted to add that on. I thank God for each and every one of y'all. And parents, please pay attention to your kids on and what they're doing, and note them every day, and you can see that they've been bullied by how they act, how they come home with their head down and don't homework. So I just for each and every one of y'all in radio land.
Wow.
God bless
the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor Jake, for sharing with us what you see as what a bully wants, and that's to be noticed. They want to be a part of a group, and they want to be seen. And I tell you, if they would just turn their lives around, and they could be noticed, and they could be part of a good group, and they would be seen by God and Jesus Christ himself. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit will make room for them to be seen. So we will continue to keep them uplifted in prayer that a total transformation will come about with total repentance. I tell you, I thank you for this opportunity to be a part of this program. I thank you so much, Pastor Barnes and Pastor Murray, police officer, working the streets out there. And
Brother Tibbs, I totally appreciate you all being a part of this program. And from the questions that come in, the encouragement, I tell you, Nikki and I were just put on fire in order to bring this to the forefront. And it does go deeper than just physical. It is mentally and verbally abusive to people. And it is a threefold problem, physically, verbally, and mentally, in the home, out of the home, in our community. So we will continue to address this and keep it in light of prayer, because we know that much prayer brings much power, and it does change a situation. It changes a life. So, Pastor Murray, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Pastor Murray, if you don't mind, we've got a few moments. If you could close this program out in prayer, I would appreciate that so much.
No problem.
Go right ahead, please.
Father God, right now, we just thank you for your spirit, Lord. We ask that what has been said today has been righteous by your word and by your truth and by your spirit. God, we ask that each and every one of us have the opportunity to step out in the hedges and the highways, Lord God, to promote that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. God, we ask for all of those people tonight, from the babies all the way up to our seniors, Lord God, who may be oppressed and abused, Lord God, in some unrighteous manner. We ask right now, God, that you would begin to just pour your spirit of comfort and love on each and every one of these persons. God, begin to show them a way of escape that they might find the true love that you have set forth for them, the purpose, the power, the prophecy, and the promise that you said you would do with us, Lord God. God, we ask right now that you even, that we ask for grace and mercy over the oppressor. God, we ask that the bully no longer have to sit around and believe that he or she has to take out their feelings upon someone else, but through violence and through nasty words and through the way they do things. God, we ask right now that you will begin to replenish them, give them value, give them an opportunity to know that you are God. God, we ask right now that the teachers and the guardians begin to become more responsible and accountable to the overseeing of these young people, Lord God. And those who are in the nursing homes, they oversee the elderly, Lord God, that they are not abused. God, we ask right now that you begin to set forth. God, you told us in your word that there will be wars and rumors of wars, but we know that that rumor starts in our mind. And so we ask right now for a separation of those things that are being done in the natural, because it must first start with a supernatural connection. God, we ask right now that you continue to bless this radio show and those that are placed over it. Give them, Lord God, the spirit of compassion and love and understanding in what they're doing. God, we ask right now that you begin to bless this ministry, that they have not a fear, Lord God, to say the things that need to be said in spirit and in truth. God, we ask right now for the ability to know those that labor among us, that we begin to pull out what does not belong. Pluck it, Lord God, away from you. You said let the wheat and the tares go together, and you would separate it. So right now we ask that you will separate the bullying factor. We ask that you would separate the paranoia factor. We ask right now that you would separate the rebellion factor. Right now, God, we ask that you would just step the Lord Jesus Christ into the position of the right hand that he sits with you. God, we ask right now for your covering, in the mindset to do your work, the heart to do your will, and always with the honor of doing it your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, my brother.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Tibbs. Thank you, Pastor Bart. I appreciate you all so much for what you're doing and for the labor of love to Jesus Christ in our children and our faith. And we stand on our faith, and that is Jesus Christ himself. So I tell you, you just continue to listen to our program and share this with others. This will be put in the archives of Mission from the Heart Radio that you can go back and listen to this at any time. So I'm going to close out our program. Nikki, I appreciate your passion. I tell you, we will be on again looking at it from other perspectives. Always remember that the flowers withereth and the grass, the flowers fadeth and the grass withereth, but the word of God does what? It stands and it remains forever and ever. Good night, and thank you again for listening to Mission from the Heart Radio.
Amen. Amen.
Good.
see you. See that?
Yes.
Okay. I just closed out.
I heard you breathing on your. You must be on your Bluetooth.
Yeah. I was trying to close out to make sure I closed out the line.
Yeah, I heard you breathing.
I think we're coming out. Let me talk this out.
Okay.